This is RSBNB Update, episode 366, recorded Friday, June 22nd, 2012. We get fingers. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update, a RuneScape podcast that is now in its eighth year. So if you just found us, welcome aboard, and we hope that you'll enjoy your stay with us and maybe learn something along the way and share it with your friends and make your life a bit better. Well, this week, Trekkie's here as always.
Yo!
And we got one of the Jasons from RSBNB Informer, specifically Jason C., which is also Hey Jason in game.
Hello.
So we're just going to talk about the RS updates of the week and discuss. Actually, I think the biggest thing we're going to discuss this week is going to be the combat changes that are coming next week because, well, the Crucible came out this week and nobody seems to really, at least in our community, care for it. Essentially, what the Crucible is the re-release of Bounty Hunter. We all remember Bounty Hunter that came out when the Wilderness and Free Trade was first removed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, I don't remember, but can one of you guys remind me why they removed Bounty Hunter again?
Wasn't it when they brought the Wilderness back? I'm not 100% sure on that.
But okay, I was thinking, but... Yeah. It didn't make sense. Like, why would you remove something that's already here, you know?
I think just because the push for the regular Wilderness was so strong, they just took it out and put the regular Wilderness back. I'm not 100% sure, but that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, it's back now. The Crucible, that is. So, some of the things I've heard about this are that they're neglecting a certain type of PvP out there, but even with this, it's not really usable because you have to pay to get in there, and then there's no guarantee about whether or not you're actually going to be able to take down this opponent that you have. So I'm just getting from people that it's not fun. What do you guys get?
For what I heard, there's still a lot of flaws with this. People were complaining. From what I saw on the forums, was that people were just complaining that it just wasn't working. It wasn't very nice because everybody just, who's going to kill anybody is going to grab a Yak, Dragon Claws, and just spec you with it really fast. And if they don't manage to hit you, well, they'll just retreat and repot up and try again.
Yeah,
I think the matching system still isn't with. I mean, just with the current combat, like the balance isn't there, and so the matching system doesn't work.
But, you know, Shane, you and I both saw it from the very beginning. It's just going to be people with dragon claws running around, clawing each other,
yeah,
hoping for the best.
Yeah.
We both saw it from the very beginning, before this even came
out. You know, kind of with this, now that we see this, I kind of am thinking that maybe it would have been better to wait until the week after next week to release this thing so people can actually try it in the beta thing and get an opinion of how it's going to be with the new combat system.
Yeah, I think if they let us play it in the beta, I think that'll be a lot more interesting because I think it'll work a lot better with the rebalance.
And like you said, you guys both said, it's just a matter of going in, getting Dragon Claws, Steel Titan, Yak, or whatever else you want to get, and just getting the first hit off on someone and having the right prayers up, and there you go. And that is the problem with RS Combat in general, is that it's just a dice roll, which, you know, would be really nice if we can get that fixed next week.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's been my biggest complaint of combat all these years. Sure, it's interesting, but it's not all that great.
Mm-hmm.
So, essentially, you guys are right in that you just go in there and you get matched with someone. And oops, I forgot to turn that noise off. Never mind. You go in there and you work with the matchmaking system and get faced up against someone, and then after that, who knows what'll happen.
Mm-hmm. So, unless you're good enough to have, I'm guessing, a hybrid armor and be able to go as a battle mage, everybody just goes inside with dragon claws, and I don't think most people will even risk a hybrid outfit anyway, because it's so hard to get it back.
Mm-hmm, yeah, because you can't even protect item. And like, if you go in with like, say, with like full Darox and a whip to switch to, and then you get paired up with someone who's got like Storm of Armadil, you're not going to have a chance. So you just
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, and this goes back to the matchmaking system too, in that it just seems to be putting people based on combat level rather than what they're wearing, and it's not taking into account that, yes, this item set is going to totally destroy the other item set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, it's PvP in RuneScape, and I've never been a PvP fan. Neither of you, Trekkie, and neither of you, Jason. So if, by all means, we're missing something here that is a big, like, big hole, please do let us know. And we don't have a PvP expert anymore, but if we would have, he would have been on the show. But it, just based on what I was seeing in the community, I didn't feel it necessary to find someone who was actually an active PvPer, because the PvPers don't seem all that enthused with this update.
And I think because I imagine they developed with the new combat system in mind, so I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't really work with this one, but it will work best with the beta, or even farther along the line when it gets released in the real game.
Yeah, well, see what happens later afterwards. Beta starts on Monday. It's going to be an interesting day. So,
I'm just glad we're not recording the show on Monday. That'll give us time to digest everything.
Yeah.
Yes, we should go out and try and kill each other and see how that works out.
No, we will do that numerous times. And I plan to be victorious just like I'm victorious in Star Trek Online.
Didn't take long for him to start Star Trek, did it, Jason?
No.
Yeah, Jason, we have to talk about that after, actually, you and I.
Oh, but God, leave him alone!
He has an account! But anyways, let's talk about the Crucible rewards. So you get these little things called trophy bones, and you can trade them for taunts, like, for example, crazy laughing, chicken block. Jason could have helped us with that earlier on.
Oh, right.
The unlucky nubcake, funeral dirge, you fail, sad melody, historical crowd, game over mortal, gothic tune, mwahahahaha. And then a whole bunch of other titles. So one of them being smelly name, and name the idiot, and Sir Lame. Also, other things like Fissure Energy Boost 20%, restores 20% of your energy when using a Fissure, 24 bones. And then there's also Energy Boost for 50 and 80%, so you can use these and you get the same restoration after you go through a Fissure, and they do have a 1-minute cooldown. There's also a Supreme Champion's Helmet that can... you can purchase if you've been named Supreme Champion and have the number of bones. And you can also fix rogue gloves. And then, of course, you can also get other rogue gloves in there from looting corpses and whatnot.
Did we touch on the Supreme Champion one?
No, we didn't, but go ahead.
Well, okay, so just straight from the text, anyone with the Supreme Champion title gets 2 minutes of invincibility and 3 unique powerful weapons, one for each combat class, each with its own special attack and function. After these 2 minutes, the invincibility will wear off, and other players in the area have 30 seconds to recap vengeance. And all, best of all, to loot the Supreme Champion's special weapons and make use of them before they disappear. You go on extra points if you kill them.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
Okay. But I kind of like how they're giving you some PvP rewards. I think that's a really good idea, good thing to do. Hopefully, with the combat beta, the weapons will be more useful.
They are only used inside the Crucible for those like 2.5 minutes that you mentioned. I think you can't take them out, and you can't use them any other time than those.
Yeah, you can only use them in the Crucible, but you know that's kind of the whole point, is that you're using these things just for PvP, which I'm down for it. It gives you a reason to go for it, and you get better rewards afterwards. But
these gloves aren't that great.
I never said they were great. Well, I'm talking about the weapons.
I think the biggest thing is the life point boost they give. I think they put you up to, like, if you have 99 HP, then I think they put you up to, like, 1,200 or 1400, something around there. So that's pretty substantial. It's similar to
something
like
else.
Next up.
Yeah, this is something we're also going to be touching on next week, because they said armors are going to be giving life point boosts. So this is interesting that this comes out beforehand. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that this that these gloves are primarily there for the life point boost? Because the stats of them aren't that great.
Well, I would assume so.
To be honest, I would see people putting it on just so that they may have a chance to survive the times four Dragon Claw spec, and they manage to survive it, then they can go back, put on whatever gloves they want, and then, you know, counterattack.
Yeah. I don't think there's really much else to say with the Crucible here. We pretty much covered it, and it is just Bounty Hunter Reborn. Do you guys think this is going to be another dead piece of content, or...
I feel like with the current system, it probably will. Like, I don't want to say it will be, but I feel like I won't compete with the Wilderness. But I don't know how it will change once the beta comes out.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty much the biggest thing.
But you know, the problem was the matchmaking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know where we go from there. Anyways, so that's a Crucible. As I said, if we missed anything glaring, like if this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, please do let us know, but it certainly doesn't seem that way by what we've been hearing. So let's just move on to some tweaks and fixes from this week. First off, that of course they added a high score table for this, so they are hoping people will adopt it. Back Riminal Bolts. What update did those come out with? I forget.
They might have been their own update, now that I think about it. But those have pretty much become dead content as well.
Yeah, they've been upgraded to work everywhere, as they previously did in Castle Wars. If the target has cast combat spell within 30 seconds, they're vulnerable to being hit by the special effect targeting the head. Bloodwood trees in the Wilderness will now yield several logs, no more receiving just a single log before depletion. And the Aztec outfit is on sale at a 25% discount at 3,000 points. This offer will expire in 2 weeks.
Do you have 3,000 points right now?
Oh yeah, I have like 30,000. I haven't been spending them.
I'm saving up for Jack of All Trades right now. I just bought the Supreme Rev, and I really like that one. That one's really useful. Okay, so anything else on the Crucible?
No, I'm just looking at the release notes now, and I don't see anything that groundbreaking here. Nothing major this week. Apparently, but it used to be possible to bank from afar in Port Phase Mades.
Mm-hmm. The one I'm happy about, though, is that Fishermen for Fish Flingers minigame have been added to Living Rocks Cavern and the Barbarian Outpost. Yay! <Yeah. laughs> Why didn't they do that last week? I was, you know, no lifing Rocktails during last week.
They heard you say it and they added it, Trekkie.
Hey, they listened to me for once. Wicked Hood interface no longer has the teleport option on the claim runes section, which is good because I teleported myself a couple of times on accident.
No.
Let's see, what else? Let's see.
Players can no longer get free kittens from Gertrude.
Crazy cat.
If only we knew.
What would you do with it?
I remember hearing a story once about a guy that had 100-plus cats that he nurtured from the kitten stage all the way to the overgrown stage.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 100 cats in his bank.
Imagine how you can keep them in your house and have, like, I can't remember what the max amount of pets you can have in your house, but just having, you know, 30 cats are running around your house, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Remember M. Shane?
I still have him.
Oh, really? He didn't die?
Why would he die?
It's a fat cat.
It's a hellcat.
Oh, okay.
I named it after you, Shane. I'll take care of it.
Oh, and that's good.
I named it after you and Mike, but there wasn't enough space for the Z.
All right. So, also, a floating throne in the Champions Challenge area is no longer floating. So, it's good to know. Moving on to 200 million. We finally find out what the 200 million count is going to be, and you can win lifetime membership.
Woot!
I mean, this is an okay reward, but membership is $5 a month.
Seven.
Oh, right. Forgot it went up. I'm still grandfathered in.
Regardless, it's pretty cheap.
Yes. So, I mean, it's a nice gesture, so there's no reason not to enter this. So basically, they want to hear as many of these things as possible. So what does 200 million accounts mean to you? What's your fondest memory of RuneScape? What content would you like to see in the future? Whether you meet with us since day one or for just one day, send us a video telling us your experiences, and you could be in the line to win some suitably massive prizes. Among the prizes up for grabs are 3 lifetime membership packs, limited edition t-shirts, and beautiful pile of signed concept art.
What does 200 million accounts mean for me? It means 195 million are bots or been banned.
Okay. What's your fondest RuneScape memory?
Killing you.
Oh. See? And what would you like to see in RuneScape's future?
What I'd like to see in RuneScape future. Well, just how I do it for Shane. Make smithing better.
Okay. For me, 200 million accounts means for me is that RuneScape itself has reached an enormous amount of players across the entire world. It started off growing slowly and gradually picked up, I think, around the 2005 range. And even though all these people aren't playing, and some of them are probably bots, it's no small feat to get a free browser game that you start just as a little side project up to a 200 million account venture. So it definitely means that this is one of the most successful games in terms of being free to play, and that we're a part of the history of this. The fondest RuneScape memory would have to be, I need to think about that one. And what content would I like to see in the future? I'd like to see a huge map, kind of southern continent type update, and expanding the farming skill and lots of other skills to be more useful.
Oh yeah, now I know what I want to see. I want them to finish out the Plague City series. Been too long. You know, I've been bugging them about that. Wrap it up. I'm tired of waiting.
What about you, Jason? What would you like to see?
I think, first off, my fondest memory of RuneScape is probably getting membership for the first time after 7 years of being free-to-play. I finally caved in and bought some, and I've been members, I think, now for 10 months and don't really plan on stopping. And then future content, probably farming and Slayer, more high-level content for those two skills. I don't think there's enough.
See, Shane, right. He's already your little prodigy. He's Paul too.
All right. So links to the videos you sent to competitions at jx.com. 9 a.m. BST on July 2nd. Entries must be no longer than 45 seconds. Anything longer than 45 seconds will not be considered.
All righty. Okay. Next part we have...
Are we going to enter this?
We could if we want. But then again, how will we split the prize?
No, I mean, how? I mean, we each enter this.
Oh, I'm not gonna get picked.
Why not? Yeah, there's lots of people enter. It's like just random, and you know, if you drop the podcast name and the fan site name, you might have a better chance.
Got it. Odds are, I will tell the truth, and they would not like it.
Well, yeah. You know, you tend to do that sometimes, but anyways.
All right, so, moving on next.
Og blog. Another Og blog, this time about tradition and challenge. So this is more combat-related stuff. So we're definitely wrapping up this. As we said earlier, this starts on Monday. I mean, Tuesday. I think Tuesday.
Or yeah, the 26th.
Okay, so Tuesday then. So essentially what they talk about here, this one, is how they wanted to make combat essentially modernize it. And the first one there was making combat easier to access. So this is where the action bar comes in, for example. This is that little bar that we saw introduced last week along with adrenaline. So this is one of the things that they're doing. Also display of weapon stats. So when you mouse over a piece of equipment, it'll tell you your stats, color code by any increases or decreases to your combat stats. They're also changing the way that combat is calculated. Now, this is the biggest news of this blog post, as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to hear what you guys think. Basically, combat is being recalculated so that it is now a maximum level of 200 with a much simpler formula, with that X plus defense level plus 2 is your combat level, where X is your highest from magic, ranged, attack, or strength. What do you guys think?
So prayer and summoning no longer
prayer
play a part?
Summoning are no longer combat skills.
Okay. So if they're no longer combat skills, then, well, summoning kind of makes a little bit of sense. They're mostly for specialty stuff anyway, but prayer is very combat related, though. Unless they plan to do something with it or take it out completely.
Yeah, I think those two are the weirdest parts.
Really? Because I read this and I thought, finally, this needed to be done a long time ago.
Like, I think it's definitely better than how it is now, but I think prayer and summoning should be part of it.
I've never seen prayer and summoning as combat skills, because prayer, you're not doing damage with your prayers. Maybe a little bit of reflection damage here and there, but it's insignificant. And summoning, you're not gaining any experience from this. Like, I mean, your character is not. Your familiar is doing this and passing it on to you. So, I mean, I never saw how summoning was a combat skill. I always thought Slayer was more likely to be a combat skill than summoning. But I'm happy about this, and I think it's the right decision to make, and it should have been made before. But you guys think that prayer and summoning should be a part of the calculation, right?
Oh, Constitution is not part of it either.
No, but, I mean... Okay. The thing is that you can't do damage with Constitution, prayer, or summoning yourself.
They keep you alive.
I know they do, but that's what defense is for.
I think with how it is now, it definitely displays how well you can do damage and defend against damage much more than the current one does. I think it does have that.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that's something they wanted to do because... it was a very complicated way of calculating combat before, and there were different types of combat for magic, melee, and ranged. So, I mean, it just made sense to have it that way.
The one other thing I think is strange, though, is how you still have attack and strength as two of the melee skills, but then magic and range are each on their own. So you could have 99 attack be... one strength, not be able to hit high at all, but be 200 combat if you had 99 defense. That's still...
You know, that was brought up to me as well, that's not necessarily very representative, but when you think about it, I think it makes sense, because let's say you're in that situation where you have 99 attack, one strength, 99 defense, that's 200 combat. You're still able to be fairly accurate. And let's say you were able to throw some prayers on, use some of the new buffs, and, you know, maybe with just this, you'd actually be able to hit as if you had something like 70 strength right now or something like that.
And you mentioned prayer right there, though, too.
I know, I mentioned throw some prayers on.
Well, yeah, but like I think prayer could be part of the thing. Because, I mean, if you have someone who has 95 prayer and they have turmoil...
But it's not doing damage to you, so I don't see how...
It's helping you do damage.
Yeah, but it's not exactly doing the damage. And what they're trying to do with this is make it simpler. So there's no need in order to have things that aren't actually part of the damage-dealing agents.
I guess.
That's the way I see it. So the current combat formula is very absurd the way it's calculated. For anyone who doesn't know, like we spent ages and ages trying to work on this thing in order to come up with a formula that will actually work, you know, and be accurate. And we finally figured it out once they released this wallpaper with the formula on it way back when. But it goes a little something like this. So what happens is that, first off, your attack and strength levels are added together, and I think they are multiplied by 1/4. Does anybody remember if that's right?
It's either a quarter or a third, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And then defense and hit points are added together as well, and those are multiplied by 1/4.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know those two are multiplied by 1/4. But,
yes.
After that, you take prayer and summoning, and you divide it by 2 and chop off the decimal. And this was causing a problem back in the day where we would have skills that would have odd levels that would, you know, be off because someone's prayer was off. So, I mean, it was definitely took a while to figure out that, these are only being counted every other level. So, I mean, this new method is a whole lot simpler to calculate. And really, I think it's a good thing. Just because, you know, I just tried to go through the old combat calculation here, and I don't even remember how this thing works after so long. So, definitely something to be happy about, in my view. Granted, it'll make combat calculators obsolete, but who cares, you know?
Yeah. I think it's definitely better than the one now.
Yeah. So, anyways, I got the actual formula here. Let me just tell you what it is. So, the combat for a Members World person is, oh, never mind, it's not here. But anyways, suffice to say, it was a very complex calculation. So,
okay.
Anyways, moving on from this part, encouraging challenging fights. So this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the Crucible, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, why would you be interested in fighting something to just gain XP? Now, this is something that people were a little bit upset about, and this is why they put this little update in here. At first, they said that you will get no combat XP for fighting creatures that are 30 levels below you, while drops and Slayer XP will remain the same. But they did say that it's the stat you're training that determines how the XP is applied. So if you have a level 99 magic but one attack, so you'll get normal XP from fighting low-level monsters as long as you're training the lower stat when you do so, and you only get 10% of the XP. So that means you can't go somewhere and just say, oh, yeah, I'm gonna train this skill on these low-level monsters. What do you guys think about that?
Well, they've kind of been doing that with almost every other MMO. Once you reach a certain level, you just don't get experience for any low-level ones at all. So they're just more or less just going with every other MMO, WoW, Guild Wars, Star Wars, The Old Republic.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. As long as you don't get assigned a Slayer task where when fighting it, you're only getting Slayer XP. As long as, you know, the Slayer task that you get full XP for your combat stat you're training, and I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I hope that would be one of the things that they will do here, so...
Because that would be kind of... I would see that as ridiculous if you got a Slayer task where you're only getting Slayer XP and you're not actually getting combat XP, or 10% combat XP, I guess.
Yeah, because, I mean, isn't that what we all do Slayer for mostly, is the combat XP?
Yeah, because it's accelerated because you have your Slayer helmet and you're doing extra damage.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Slayer is a great way to combine combat because you have to use combat to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, kill 3 birds, 1 stone. You raise Constitution, you raise whatever you're training in, and you raise Slayer.
Yay!
3 birds, 1 megastone.
And I wrote an article on it this month. You want to check that out?
Yes. Oh, yeah, right. I was actually going to mention that when we got to this segment, so tell us a bit about that.
But yeah, I mostly wrote it on, like, the topic Trekkie was saying. It combines all these different skills. I mean, you get an accelerated speed because you have your Slayer helmet. You get that 15% bonus, and I mean, it's a good money maker, and it breaks it up into different. You're not out there for hours on end. You're out there, maybe for an hour, then you come back and switch it up. It switches it up, and it's there. All the monsters drop good charms for the most part, and you get good drops from it. And it's especially good for new players because it gives them, as they progress, different Slayer monsters. It gives them a good chance to, learn all these different monsters and experience more of the game.
Alrighty. Yep. So, moving on from that. So this is being done to encourage people to fight monsters that are relevant to them. And, that makes sense because, people are only exploiting the system if they're fighting monsters that are of lower level to them, and it's just not fun that way.
And one thing, Trekkie, did you notice when you're killing the QBD how much more experience you got from that?
Not really. I was too busy trying to keep myself alive.
Okay. Well, I noticed like when watching people kill the QBD and stuff, like the experience multipliers you got from killing because it's such a higher level monster was insane. And so I wonder if they'll do that more with, if you go to fight bosses, you'll get, even more experience than if you're just on a Slayer task. I think they do that now already, but I wonder if they'll ramp it up even more.
Who knows? There's all kinds of little modifiers and stuff coming that we saw in this next behind-the-scenes video. I think we'll leave this Og blog here and let you guys read the rest of it, but because basically it's just about keeping true to the roots and balancing it out for future updates. So the Og blog, as you were mentioning, Jason, does show some kind of multipliers coming as you work later on in the combat system as you keep progressing through your fight. So, maybe they are trying to extend that mechanic into being more general for just any kind of combat. Okay. Well, also in the behind-the-scenes video, they revealed something that they did not want to reveal this far, and that is dual wielding. So you're down to wield two weapons at a time.
I really like this video. It was really cool to watch.
Yeah, the part where the guy's holding two dragon scimitars. What do you think?
That is awesome.
I swear I talked about this once before that dual wielding would be so interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Trey.
I'm actually interested, how in the game you click on a weapon, it will come up into your inventory, into your wielding slot. I'm wondering if your skill bar would change a little bit as well, depending on what you're using. So they may.
Well, everything's going forwards the action bar now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my kind of theory is, you run in with your dragon claws, and then you charge out, and then you switch weapons, and then you do something else with it. I don't know what it would do yet, but double scimitar is cool. I'm wondering if you have a 99 strength, 99 attack, 99 defense, you can wear double Bandos God Swords.
Probably not, because those are a two-handed weapon.
So?
Just like staves are going to be two-handed in this because they increase your magic damage.
Hey, I have 99 strength. I believe I can wield two Bandos God Sword. I'll just chain them to my arm and start spinning them around like in a little whirlwind attack.
They said that because of graphical issues, you're not going to be able to wield two whips.
But the second one was the enhanced Excalibur from the Seer's stats, and I wonder if they're going to give it the same stats as the whip because they're taking away that special.
I don't know.
Because it was in the offhand, and so, yeah. Go ahead.
There's lots of specials that are going to be interesting to see whether they keep around or not, so we're going to have to wait and test that out when we actually start playing with all this, but definitely a good point there.
Actually, I'm wondering now if they'll start bringing in wands.
That's what they said. You're going to be able to use a wand and then just
they already have wands.
Cast with runes. So that's going to be how you do dual magic casting, a wand and just runes. So we can actually go out and be like Harry Potter now.
Thou shalt what? Not use Harry Potter in the podcast.
Oh, no. I think one of the things that was cool is they showed someone had an arrow in one hand, or like a throw darts in one hand, and then they're casting magic spells with the other. And I thought
yes,
that was cool.
Yes, yes, yes. Multiple types of combat. Also crossbow and the scimitar as well in the same thing. So
yeah.
Making it easier to fight with these different types of attack, because I'm betting that means that we're going to be seeing that attack types for weapons are not going to be crossing over anymore. So I think that's a good thing. But, I mean, I think this is something people are going to be more excited about than in general the Crucible, because, well, quite frankly, combat is used everywhere, and people always have preferred the wilderness for PvPing rather than their little things, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think just the animations, all the different animations that we've seen in all these behind-the-scenes videos have been cool.
Oh, and we got fingers now on our players.
Yeah. I noticed that when he's holding the dragon's two-edged sword, the hand wasn't really on the sword yet, but that was funny.
Yeah.
Just holding the air.
Also, they have the sheathing option, so if you're just walking around RuneScape in general, you can sheath your weapon on your side or on your back if it's a bow. What?
Nothing. It's going to be interesting to see people walking around with a giant sword sticking out on their back.
Well, one thing I am definitely looking forward to in this is being able to use a bow again for trading, because there's been no incentive to use a bow since crossbows came out, so I'm really looking forward to using a bow and arrow.
Ooh, that means I should stock up on rune arrows.
Yeah, I've been doing that too. I got lots of iron arrows too. So maybe now would be a good time to dump them.
Let's see. What else would I think? I got nothing else to really say about this one. You want to move on to next?
Yeah, I'm finished with that. So let us move on. And also, the behind-the-scenes video for this was behind-the-scenes 6. For some reason, it wasn't linked in the... or was it linked in dual wielding? Yes, it was. Never mind. Anyways, moving on. Grab the gold. So this is another update that's ruffling the feathers of the RuneScape community. What do you guys think of this one?
There was a big discussion in the friends chat last night about it.
Oh, really? Basically, what's going to be happening now is that since they're approaching 200 million accounts, they're going to be adding a 200 million GP prize on the wheel.
Still not going to be me.
Oh, it could be. You know, it only takes one chance, just like I got my little ship on Star Trek Online.
It's still not random on Squeal of Fortune. I quit caring about what I get, so I just, second again, I just start randomly clicking. I don't care anymore. And I still haven't gotten any nice rare items that I was promised for, if I haven't gotten any rare items in a while. So, yeah. And last, what's up?
Tell us about the discussion in friends chat if you're finished there.
Jason, go.
There was just a lot of people who were upset about, you know, more Squeal of Fortune updates, and it was just, you know, general ranting about how they're putting out more Squeal of Fortune updates than regular game updates.
Okay. Now, I'm going to come to the defense of this thing again and say that this is a good idea, because we all know that the problem in RuneScape was gambling, and if people could put a little bit of money into something like this, maybe it would subdue the gambling thing. And just because this prize is on here, the 200 mil prize, I'm thinking maybe that might be enough to force people to do this. In my view, of course, the only thing missing is the ability to buy spins in-game with money, because we do need another money sink.
Yes, that would be nice.
Yeah, it would. Also, this weekend, coin prizes are multiplied by 5, so 1,000, 5,000, 5,000, 25,000, and so on. So it's definitely a good weekend to play Squeal of Fortune and buy some spins if you're at all interested in that. And there's nothing wrong with buying spins. I know there are people out there who are going to say, this is real-world trading. It's against everything Jagex stands for. But in reality, it's not. It's not real-world trading. Because it is, of course, endorsed by Jagex, and you will get something every time, it is a little bit like gambling. I still wish there'd be a bit of an age gate on it, but ultimately I don't think it's a bad thing to have in the game.
I feel like it has less of an effect on the game than people make it out to be. Like, I'm not really for it at all, but I really don't oppose it that much. I don't feel like it hurts my gameplay at all.
No, because you can play the game and you don't need to do anything on the squeal. You can even just play the game and not use your spins if you want.
Yeah, the only reason I actually spin is just to get the damn icon off the screen.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, but there's lots of other good things that you can get from it, like the medium-sized labs, for example. Those are great for training summoning.
I never get those. Not for summoning.
Oh, really? Anymore. I got two this week.
Usually I am getting them, but they end up being specific skills, and usually they're combat related, which I'm like, I don't need 90. I need more experience in attack and strength.
My worst drop this week was 4 emeralds.
My worst drop was, 4 times I got 1,000 coins. Like I said, I don't care anymore, so I'm just like, I get in, I just click, and I was like, I don't care anymore. I'm not going to get it, and yeah. And interestingly enough, Shane, 3 out of 4 spins landed in the exact same spot.
Interesting.
Told you, it's not random.
It's just a matter of practice then. So, moving on from that, Squeal of Fortune, love it or hate it, it's been updated. So next up, another vanity item. Get your Flaming Skull! So those who purchase a 90 or 100 day game card between June 22nd and July 15th will receive a Flaming Skull. It's, of course, worn in the head slot. It's a cosmetic item that will place your character's head with a fully animated and furiously flaming skull. Comes in 4 colors, which can be changed at any time. Game cards are purchasable from GameStop in the US, EB Games in Canada, and Game in the UK.
Mm.
Offer does not apply to cards bought online.
Mm. I like the skull. It looks nice on the picture they have.
This is one of the few vanity items I'd actually be tempted to get. It's just I don't need the membership.
I might be picking one up because I think my membership runs out here soon. I buy the cards every 3 months, so I think might pick one up. And if I do, I'll post some pictures on RuneWire for you.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. So, again, these are another things that some people don't like. So, I mean, we can't please everyone, but of course, there's nothing wrong with getting a little extra something if you purchase a membership card, I think. Did you, Jason, get anything from the last card you purchased or no?
No, actually, I think I've purchased maybe 4 cards now, and they've been between vanity periods or something like that. I don't really know.
Okay.
I must have just missed them all. It could be because I'm not buying from the right. I haven't bought from the retailers.
Oh, okay.
They're only offered at certain places. I'm not really sure.
Right. I think that does us for RS updates this week. I'm ready to move on unless you guys have anything else.
Nope.
Can't wait till Monday.
Tuesday.
Damn it!
All right, moving on to questions now. So first question this week is from Duke Juker, which I will read. Oh dear, it's an essay. RS questions. It's going to be a lightning round. First off, if someone was new to members like me, what top info or advice would you give them? Also said Jagex. So, number one, Jason, you can take this one because you're the newest member here.
Advice. I think quests are good to do. I think he's been doing them. And try out all the different skills, level them all up. Don't stick to one particular skill. I think try everything you can.
Okay. My main advice is going to be do as many quests as you can because quests open up the world substantially and make the game a little bit easier. And also not to mention you do get 2 free spins from each quest you complete now. Just keep trying to focus on all skills. And I think you'll probably quickly find out what your favorite skill is, favorite member skill, I think, because that becomes fairly apparent. I mean, fairly quickly apparent. So number 2, should Jagex provide people with the option to not trim their skill capes?
What would be the point of that?
to look better? Because I know I want my untrimmed farming cape. Yeah. And you probably want your untrimmed fishing cape.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Okay, please, Jason.
I don't really see any reason to. It's been like that for years now. Just, I mean, you get a second 99 and they're trimmed. That's how it is. I don't know.
Okay. Make the quest cape trimmable. I don't see what you'd trim it with or what you'd have to do to get it trimmed. Any ideas?
I think you could trim it with, like, if you did all the subquests. You know, if you did Rag and Bone Man and you got the ghostly robes and all, you did all the little subquests, I think that could trim it. But I don't see them doing that.
Yeah. Okay. Should Jagex give people a bonfire for cooking to boost their life points?
Nah.
Does this mean, like, if you, because right now you throw 5 logs on the fire, you get the life point boost as you want. If you cook 5 fish, you get life point boost?
Yeah, something like that, I think.
Nah.
Yeah. Don't really see any reason for it, no.
No, because you're cooking the fish and you're going to need to eat the fish, right? So that's going to be your life point boost.
Okay, next one.
Compost potions to be makeable by players. Nope. Because super compost is so easy to make. Just if you've done a lot of farming, you'll end up with lots of watermelons. There are pineapples even you can get for free. Just go to the guy on Karamja who can give you free pineapples daily, and you can use those to make your super compost. So, I mean, it's not too terribly hard to make super compost, so I don't see that as necessary.
I just have two fruit trees with pineapples that I just, you know, gather them every once in a while. I just
use the spell. I'm always on the Lunar spell book, so I just use the Fertile Soil spell, and I never have to worry about it.
Right, and see, this is another reason why if you do quests, the game becomes easier because you get access to the Lunar spell book.
All right.
So, a tech question, where do you get your tech news? Lots of places. I go to
Twitter.
I go to Dig, I go to my Twitter feed, I do CNET, I do The Verge, I do Ars Technica, I go pretty much everywhere. Gaming question, do you think games are better? Oh, you have something to add to the tech part?
Oh, no, I was just going to give my, I mean, Reddit is where I get most of mine, I think.
Sigh. Gaming question. If you die, you have to start a game all over or where your progress is saved?
That depends on the game. If it's one of those long games like Skyrim or Fallout, starting all over is just a pain in the butt. So, you know, yeah, for those long games, it's good to have progress save every once in a while because this makes it a lot easier. For many other games, sometimes it's better because you kind of know everything, so you can have a better run.
Mm-hmm. But, I really don't have an opinion on it. I mean, like, you have a game like Diablo where you can choose, and I think that's kind of cool. You can choose regular mode or hardcore mode where you die and you lose everything. I think that's kind of a cool option.
I mean, I'm going to agree that the save and progress thing is the best way to go because more and more games are meant to be like a story or a movie kind of thing, you know? So the idea is to let you experience that story, not to make it so utterly painful that you don't need to experience the same part of the story 3 times in a row just to advance on, if you catch my drift. So I'm all for the save and progress.
Let's see.
Yeah, if I had to choose, I'd probably choose that one. I really don't want to start over most of the time.
Like, let's say you spend 90 minutes on a game and you die, and then you have to go back and spend that same amount of time. Is that really worth it? Is that advancing the story? Is that making you want to play the game? Is that making you want to spend more money on DLC? Is that making you want to give more money to that company? No, it's not.
If you play this to RuneScape, do you think that, like, the graves, that how over the years they've been more generous with, you know, you can get a longer grave now, you know, 5 years ago there weren't graves at all. Do you think that's better or worse?
Well, that's different because you're actually carrying these items and you die and you lose items. You don't lose all the progress you made since you started whatever you're doing. So I see that as a bit different, but... I think it's a nice add-on to be able to keep your items like that. There are places I don't think it's a good thing, like boss fights or the wilderness, for example, which I know that doesn't happen in the wilderness, but it does happen in boss fights, so a little bit split on that. Last question. At Trekkie and Jason, I think I know Shade's answer. If you could be the number one spot in any RuneScape Hill skill high score, which skill would you want?
So Shane, is your farming?
Ah, sure.
That sounds like a no.
Yeah, sure.
That still sounds like a no.
Yes.
Okay, Jason, you go. What's up?
I don't really care for the high scores too much, but I think... Oh,
think of it this way. You're getting a free 99, so what would you get as a 99?
Taking a free 99, that's... I wouldn't really want a free 99. I want to get it myself. That's the thing. But I think if, like, I don't know. I guess I'll just say magic since it's my 99 right now. So I'll go with that. How about you, Trekkie?
I would get smithing up to 99 because then I don't have to deal with it anymore.
But if it's such a useless skill.
Yes, but then as soon as I get it out of the way, the better I would be. I don't have to worry about it. If I come in, I don't want to spend this anymore. I don't want to spend it anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to spend the bars anymore. I'll be done with it. I'm like, all right, I'm done. It's like, you know, me and crafting. I got a 99. I'm done. Ooh, but I can still make money. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Duke Jr. Jason, you want to read the next one?
Sure. Okay. So is this two parts? Yeah, there it is. Okay. So I'm currently about 50k tokens away from a chaotic weapon. I spent 10k on the Scroll of Life and 32k on the Bone Crusher. But anyways, my combat stats are 80 attack, 83 strength, 76 defense, 81 hit points, 65 magic, 70 ranging, 69 prayer, and 51 summoning. I want to do some bossing with some friends and a little bit of Slayer. Then I can also get 85 dungeoneering for Frost Dragons. Anyways, the question is, which chaotic weapon should I get?
Rapier.
Yeah, rapier. No question.
That's always the first one you always get. But quite honestly, if you're just starting dungeoneering out, the number one things you get are all the scrolls. Every single scroll, Herblore scrolls, and smithing scroll is iffy. That depends if you want to train smithing later on. But the Herblore scrolls.
What does the smithing scroll do?
You have a chance of saving one bar depending on what you're making.
Oh, okay.
But you know, the chance increase with every, you know, depending how much, if you're making a plate or a leg. So chances increase depending on how many bars you use. Herblore scrolls are the best because they save you so much money in the long run.
Yeah, they really do.
So those are always the number one things you get. That is the number one. Get every single scroll. Especially if you're a low level. The Herblore scrolls will save you a lot of money.
I'm going to agree and say rapier or the longsword if you're looking for just hard hittingness. But I think next week all this is going to be rendered obsolete. Because let's remember that with any weapon, you're going to be able to train strength. So let's say you can train strength with the whip after this combat update. So, I mean,
one of the biggest appeals of the rapier is just it has the stab option, which all the dragons are weak to, and that kind of stuff for Slayer. It's really helpful.
And it's a pretty fast weapon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Trekkie.
Yo.
Stab, stab, stab.
Do you want to tick me off today?
All right, second part.
Second part. So second question is, after level 99 fishing, he's 91 at the moment, which should I go for? 99 mining, currently at 60, or 99 magic, currently at 65? Thanks, guys. Keep up the great show. Also, do you think the fish mask was a mistake on Jagex's part because they've said in the past that they won't make rares anymore? Or do you think that doing it was to make money as people will buy more spins because they need money as they aren't making as many bots anymore? Last question, do you think it will be as rare, or it will be the next rare, or do you guys think that next summer they will bring it back and so on? Also, I got 99 agility a month ago, but haven't been on to tell you, so you can mention it in your show.
Okay.
I'll let Trekkie, or I don't know, you guys talk about that first.
First things first. Slow down. Get 99 fishing. enjoy the other skills. Don't rush something currently at level 60 all the way to 99 or 65. That's just too much of a rush for the type of gameplay that I like to promote. Just enjoy the skill as you're doing it. You might go on further and discover that you don't like 99 in the skill, or there's something else that's more appealing to you to get to 99. So, yeah, just don't rush it. But as for the fish mask, I think that's perfectly fine. Part of the whole reason we got in this whole rare market thing that we have now is because, well, they never added any rare items because they didn't think the player base could handle having rare items added in the game, when in reality, it's just like real life. Not everyone can have every item. So it just depends what you're lucky enough to get. We don't need to be holding the hands of the players. That would be my stance if I was at JAGX. And, you know, if I was at JAGX, we probably would have added more rare items along the way since the last rare item was added, which I think was the Easter egg.
I think it was. I can't remember anymore.
It's been years, so.
And let's see, what else did she ask? Buy more spins? No, there are. Well, one other thing, there are still plenty of bots in the game, so they're not making money off the spins just to supplement the income. They're just doing it for a little extra profit.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that?
I didn't say anything wrong with it. I just said they're just making a little extra profit. And anything else? No, that's it.
Yeah.
Except for this one.
Jason, do you have anything on that?
Yeah, I agree. Don't grind out the 99s. Take your time. You know, do them both at once. Level them up each equally. And yeah, the fish mask, I don't really care.
I bought one for 3.1 mil, and people on RuneWire were saying they bought it for 3.3 and 3.5. So I feel better because I didn't spend as much as them, but I don't know what it's at now.
I have no idea.
I think the Grand Exchange price is at like one something, but I don't know. I haven't followed it at all because I don't care for cosmetic items, really.
Probably off by quite a bit, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. It's really off right now. Let's see. What is the price of it right now, according to the
1.1, give or take, 40K.
So. But yeah, like you said, that could be totally off.
Yeah, because the time I bought it and I was buying from the Grand Exchange, the guide price was 500K, but I had to buy it for like six times that.
More are coming into the game right now.
They never seem to get the guide prices right whenever they introduce a new item into the game. They're always way too low.
You know, that's one of the problems with the Grand Exchange is that there are guide prices. Those guide prices need to be removed, in my opinion. But that's a topic for another show. Also, just one thing, Green Taros, regarding your achievement, your level 99 agility. In order to get on the Achievements of the Week segment at the end of the show, you need to be a part of our community high scores, which have a certain requirement of having been a member for at least 1 month, posted on the forum in the last month, and logged in or visited within the past week. So, anyone else have anything there?
Nope. That was all you.
All right. The next question is from Ring. Dear hosts of RSBNB, update. I'd like to just throw that in, that we are called RSBNB Update, since RSBNB is the fan site. Which college should I go to?
The one that you like. Case closed. Next question.
it's a fairly personal decision, and you need to go based on where your funds will allow you to go, where it has a decent program, and where you feel is the type of institution you want to go to. Do you want to go to somewhere that focuses more on practical training, or do you want to go to a research-based university, something like that?
And I think with what little information we know, we can't really help you out at all.
it's not something that you need to refer to other people with. First things first, I'd imagine, before you even start thinking about this, is have a concrete idea of what you want to do. Because if you don't, there's no point in going and wasting money, am I right?
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of... I just finished my freshman year at college, and there's definitely a lot of people who are wasting their time there.
Yeah, or they're just going because they, 'cause they're expected to go and they'll get one of those things called an arts degree. But anyways, yeah, so it just depends on your situation, but this is, for everybody out there who's listening, it's something that you definitely want to research.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
All right, I'll do it. Let's see. Question from veteran. Howdy, host. I was sitting in class when I had a random idea. What if dinosaurs were added into the game? Obviously, they would have a warrant. It would have to warrant a quest, as dinosaurs don't appear out of nowhere. Perhaps something to do with dig sites, since I'm assuming they dig up fossils. And with dinosaurs, loads of other NPCs could be added, even more herbal potions. Just a thought, V. All right, Shane, should they add dinosaurs in?
Ah, that would be going a little too much on the fantasy side, I think.
Shane, we
like
talked to...
It's just like the dinosaur Pokemon.
Is the dinosaur Pokemon? Is that the new thing that's coming out right now, or...?
No, the flying dinosaur fossil one. The extinct Lugia? One.
Oh, the no. Big black hairy one. The big black scaly thingy.
I don't know. I only know the first 150, so it's in one of those. But in 151. Any case, no, there should not be. Yes, 151. There should not be dinosaurs.
I think if they add it into the game, I don't know what you do with them, considering what do you hope to do? Start your own Terra Nova in the game? I'm sure Shane would love that idea, though. We can actually start the whole series in RS, or they can do it themselves. Like, hey, can we, you know, just to cheapen up, can we make it in your browser-based game? We'll just put it as a web video, web series?
Oh, that would work. Okay, if they're going to do that, I'll say sure, add dinosaurs.
I'm sure Shane would gladly donate some to RS for doing that too.
Anyway, what other things would they be able to add?
Let's see. Well, they'd be able to add a car, Flint and Stone style.
Why?
Why not?
A car? Okay.
Yeah, Fred Flintstone style, you know?
Oh, right.
Dubba-dubba-doo. Shane never...
Built by the dwarves? Yes, I did watch the Flintstones.
Well, they found a way to get monkeys in there, so I think we could have dinosaurs. We had that monkey weekend or whatever.
Monkey madness.
Oh, yeah,
no
that was
apparent
great,
reason.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
They should have made those... Barrel of Monkeys, a rare item. Shoot, people actually use those.
Yeah, they could have. Hey,
I still have three of them. I think in my bank. I'm waiting for a good time to use them.
Yeah, I only got one, but
I used them all.
Anyways.
I was like, it was stupid. More herbal potions. That'd be a lot of dragon dinosaur bones to grind up.
Oh dear, that would not be fun.
Herbal medicine.
Yeah, so thank you, veteran, for the question. Next one is from Forged. Dear guest host Jason, think of reasons for me to play again. Short but sweet. This is another one that you're well-versed in.
I'd say, I mean, people, your friends. We talked the other day, and that's one thing you mentioned, that you still had friends on here that you missed talking to, and then... Guess you have your maxing goal that you could still pursue. But I think if you're done having fun with the game, there's no reason just to keep playing. But, you know, if you can find a reason, sure. I can't come up with any really off the top of my head besides those two.
Didn't
but I
you
think,
write an article about this? Why I
Yeah, I wrote. Yeah, I wrote. Well, you know, I play RuneScape just because I still have fun with it. And I think if I went, you know, the day I stop having fun with it is the day I'll stop playing. So I
and
think, you know, if you're having fun with other things, you know, then. No reason really to come back, but if you would enjoy it, then yeah.
And this is also why I said to the other person here who asked a question about getting 99s, is I said, don't rush, because if you rush, you're not going to have anything left to do in the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just makes sense to take it slow. Sure, if you want to get a good 99 that you're extremely happy about, like I did with farming, I see that as fine because you enjoy it, but don't rush to get 99 and everything else just because you do that. And this goes to a saying I have, don't become a collector of 99s. Get a 99 because you want to get a 99 and you have a reason to get it and you like the skill. So just don't get 99s to max yourself out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, you take breaks for a few months and people do that all the time and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But as for some actual reasons to play, we really can't tell you how to play, but one of the reasons I think that people are going to start playing again this summer is it's going to be like the summer of construction, is because that was something that was wanted for ages. The combat update, combat's changing in such a substantial way. I mean, it'd be perfect time to train and max out your combat, you know? So, at least for me, I'm going to get 99 Constitution this summer because I'm level 98 now. And that's something I wanted to do for a while, and it's on my 2012 to-do list. So I think the best thing I can do is to say you have to find your own reasons, but I can help you with that and say that you need to focus on skills that you find fun and interesting. For me right now, that's summoning, so I'm kind of geared around that. So what you should do is set up a to-do list of things that you want to do in RuneScape, and ultimately you'll end up finding out how you can do these and just accomplish them on your own time and don't rush.
Yeah, I agree. Anyways, sorry if that wasn't enough. But yeah, I like what Shane said.
Trekkie, you have anything else?
Yeah, if you're getting bored, take the break. When you come back, all the quests come, you know, hopefully we'll add new quests and everything else, so you have more incentive to get back into it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Things happen.
Yeah, and you'll be totally refreshed too. So, I mean, I'm kind of burnt out after my rune spanning, even though it is rune span. So I've just been doing a bit of coding and stuff just to keep my mind off that. But, so take a break. Trekkie, you want to read the last one?
All right, dear host. Do you like or dislike the fact that RS seems to be shifting toward the style of other popular MMOs such as World of Warcraft with a content preview in the combat beta, i.e. the action bar, buffs, agility, etc., etc., from Poison Nova?
Not in the slightest. There's still so many things that are different about RuneScape and conventional MMOs that make RuneScape not even a typical MMO in the sense of what MMOs are. So I don't think it's drifting towards that too fast. I think it's okay for them to pick up a few features from those games like that, but it's nowhere near like those games. Hmm. And that's what makes it unique.
And you know, I think most of the changes are going to come with the combat system, and I think the combat system is... it's pretty old and it needs a revamp anyway. And, you know, taking stuff from other MMOs isn't a bad thing because, you know, they're successful. And, you know, yeah, like you said, it's not going to become World of Warcraft. There's still, you know, it's still totally different.
Yeah, and the RuneScape playing model is different than everything else. World of Warcraft is based around the raiding and, of course, the content you do once you're higher level, whereas RuneScape, there's content to do across all levels. So, I mean, that's entirely different, and this is what I was saying, is that the DNA of RuneScape isn't going to change.
Yeah, because, I mean, skills still take many, many hours to you know, max level, and so, you know, it's about getting to the higher levels rather than getting to the higher levels really quickly and then doing something.
Yeah, and some more than others, you know. And, you know, mm-hmm. I going back, I kind of wish that skills like runecrafting, fire making, thieving, and stuff would still be kind of slow, as in skills that take well longer to level, kind of like how they were designed to be in RuneScape Classic. But I think we're finished with that, unless anybody else has anything.
Nope.
Alrighty then. Remember, you can send us your questions. Questions topic will be posted on Monday, most likely, on the forums at rsbnb.com/forums. Also, you can email the questions to questions@rsbnb.com if it's an audio question, or you can leave us a voicemail at 571-572-2632. All right, tech news. On the surface, it looks nice, but inside, it's still Windows. Isn't that true? So this is regarding Microsoft's Surface tablet that was unveiled earlier this week. So initial thoughts, Jason.
I haven't looked into it too much, but I'm not big on tablets, really. I'd prefer the regular or machine.
Okay, Trekkie.
Well, it didn't work out very well in the show. Basically, there's a little video where what's the spokesperson's name again?
That's Steven Sinofsky, head of Windows.
Well, he tried to show off the tablet and it wasn't working, so that's not a good start. But then again, it's still a little bit early, so hopefully they'll iron out that little problem that they're having. But
At least it didn't blue screen on a big projection screen like I think Windows 2000 did or something when Bill Gates was demoing it.
I was thinking of that too. But basically, I'm hoping they put. I'm actually hoping that they actually will become a good competitor versus the iPad. Competition is good. So hopefully they can
competition is good.
So hopefully they can actually fight with iPad, and that would hopefully drive prices down. And you never know, the $99 iPad.
Two things here. First things first, I think this feels more like a Zune device. After all, the Zune did come out much after the original iPod did, and look where the Zune is now. So let's just remember that these kind of things, these kind of initiatives with Microsoft can just die flat out like this. So I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'd say it's a possibility, definitely, just because it's 2.5 years too late for the to compete against the iPad form factor when everybody knows the iPad is the tablet out there that is the ultimate in terms of tablets. And there's also a huge ecosystem on there, whereas the whole Windows Metro thing hasn't even got started yet because Windows 8 hasn't shipped. So we're going to be in much like a situation when the first iPad, well, not even the first iPad because you could use the iPhone applications on it, but we're going to be in a situation where there's hardly any native Metro touch type applications that you can use. So that's something we have to remember. And secondly, I'll say that Surface. You guys remember the Surface technology demos from a few years back?
No.
No.
basically, what Surface was a huge table, and it was a touchscreen table, and it was basically like an interactive computer on a table, and you were able to do all kinds of things with it, like look up information, browse the web, put cameras on it to download. It was geared towards the information kiosk type market. So it's interesting that Microsoft took the Surface name and started using it on their tablet.
What do you think of the keyboard edition compared to the iPad?
I think the keyboard is there because so many people don't like the iPad because it doesn't have a keyboard, and everybody is still chained to this idea that you need a keyboard and mouse to navigate when in reality you don't. I think it's a nice bridging device, the keyboard. I think the keyboard is there primarily for the enterprise users.
Okay. It's just so much easier to type with the keyboard than on the touchscreen.
Really? I didn't even notice it.
Unless you try to use the voice recognition software on it.
I don't know if you have much experience with touchscreens, Jason, but I find that completely the opposite, Trekkie. I can type perfectly on a touchscreen.
Nah, not me. I always have to hold it with one hand because I'm not laying it flat on a table. So I always have to use one finger at a time. It's not like I can put the iPad down because I'm usually not anywhere near a table to put it down anyway.
Well, what about on your phone? How's your touch typing work there?
Well, phone is a little bit smaller, so I can actually use both thumbs. Okay. I can use both thumbs on an iPad.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. There's a keyboard the keyboard modification. You can split the keyboard in two, and you can hold it up in a portrait position and type that way. But another thing with this is that it's going to there's going to be two versions, an Intel and ARM version. So they're both going to be running different versions of Windows. But that's interesting that they did this, that they did an Intel and ARM version. But I don't know. I hope that this is the device that will sell Windows 8 and get people to get hooked on Windows 8, because I know there are so many doubters out there for Windows 8, but I really like Windows 8. So if anything, I hope this will be a good device to promote Windows 8.
And if it fails, we can wait for Windows 10. They'll probably skip 9 anyway, just go straight to 10.
Now remember the odd-even rule.
No, I mean, like, it's going to be Windows 8 and then straight on to
good,
Windows 10.
Vista bad. 7 good, 8 bad, with a question mark?
So. No, basically, Shane, I mean that they're just going to skip 9. There won't be a Windows 9.
Why would they skip 9?
Why would they have a 9?
Because it's the next one.
Yeah, they've started with 7 for some reason.
So yeah, and? So why don't you call it Windows 1?
Going to 8, so why not go to 9? Well, Windows 1 was Windows 1. Windows 2, I'm not sure what happened to that. Then we got confused and everything. But anyways, that's the topic for the lineage of Windows one day. Next up, more Microsoft news. Windows Phone 8. Just a week after iOS 6 was announced. So any thoughts on Windows Phone 8?
Windows Phone 8. My contract is not going to expire for another year and a half, so I can't do anything with it. So,
well, it'd be perfect time to get the iPhone 5S then.
I don't want the iPhone.
Why not?
Because I don't care for the iPhone. I am one of those few people on this planet who does not care about the iPhone. Shane, that is not a secret. Okay?
All right. Windows 8, or Windows Phone 8, I mean, has a new start screen primarily, and a few other changes under the hood, but the main stuff is with the start screen. Essentially, it's more customizable, and you can modify the size of the tiles to display a small amount of information or even more information. I actually like the UI of Windows Phone 8. I think it's a great way to be heading. And they're actually taking a page out of Apple's book in that there are past phones who are not going to be able to use the Windows Phone 8 operating system. But there is an update that will give current Mango users the start screen. So, I'm assuming here we don't care about Windows Phone 8, and I'm just talking about this because I felt it was necessary to give them equal coverage, just in case there's someone out there who is a Windows Phone 8 fan.
Yeah, I don't have a smartphone. I feel like if I were to get a smartphone, I would either choose between an Android, just because it's linked in with Google, and I use a lot more Google products than Windows products, or I would go with an iPhone. I don't think I would get a Windows phone.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that you can link the iPhone to just as many Google products as you can an Android phone, so they're essentially the same in that way. Moving on, the 3DS XL. Does anyone care about this kind of gaming anymore?
I feel like it's more for the younger generation. I don't know. I don't follow that much, and I never had one of these little Nintendo handhelds.
Well, the 3DS XL is going on sale on August 19th, and it's 90% larger than the original 3DS. I got lost at Game Boy Advance, so I don't know what the heck's been happening since then.
Game Boy Advance was the best one. It was more ergonomically designed than Nintendo SP. It was just like, what is this? So small. And then came out with 3D with the DS, and that was okay. But to be honest, I cannot play that system very long because my fingers start hurting because the way I'm holding it. You would actually see the Game Boy kind of have marks on my finger because I'm having trouble holding it. It's just really small. But, you know, they're making it bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm just thinking to myself, when will it stop being considered a handheld?
Yeah, and that's the thing.
I mean,
these portable gaming devices, I think, are in the league with smartphones, because you could use a smartphone as such a device. But you don't really hear much more about Nintendo blazing the trails anymore with new gaming consoles and devices, do you?
The thing is, for me, though, is that it's getting harder and harder to actually fit into your pocket. And, you know, that's kind of the point of handheld, is to, you know, kind of take it where, play games wherever, almost wherever you are. And, well, if you have a hard time putting it in your pocket, and it's not really portable, not much is it? Not everybody
true.
Has giant patent pockets that can stiff it in, or the sweater pockets.
Yep.
Whee!
And, you know, why wouldn't Nintendo announce this at E3? That was just happening a few weeks back.
They wanted more spotlight.
Yeah, but that was my thoughts exactly, too, with this. And that's also kind of why Microsoft waited a while to say anything. Because you could have spun the Surface tablet as an E3 gaming device, couldn't you?
Well, also remember, I think they were actually trying to show off the Wii U. So I think that was their main focus, this new console right here. And I think the problem is not, as I remember, it's not really, is it HD supported now, or is it kind of?
Yes, it is HD supported finally,
okay, good.
But that's it.
But yeah, I don't think there'll be that big of a difference. I'm sure they'll get some decent, great games on it. They love their Mario and Zelda. They'll take care of those two mascots to end of time.
I don't know that Nintendo's on the right track here, and it just seems like they're fading slowly and slowly away.
Well, it still prints money.
Yeah, well, that can be a discussion question for you guys listening to this. What do you think of Nintendo? Are they fading away, or do they still hold a place in the world?
You know, I still like Nintendo. Whenever I go to my cousin's place, he has a Wii, and I love playing Mario games with him, because we can actually work, you know, play together with all the new games that are coming out. I mean, it's one of those few things.
You?
Other cousin.
Okay.
Bad boy. But the problem is, you know, one thing I do like about the Wii is that it's still four player.
Any luck on the...
Ooh, hi, Mom. Hi, Jason's
continue.
Mom. Well, the thing is that I like that it has a four player controller. You know, four players can play together in the same room. You don't have to have a Wi-Fi and all that stuff. And it's nice to say, like, all right, here's four controllers. Here's the nice big screen TV. All right, let's have some fun. And they can do that for hours. And,
yeah, you know, that is the benefit of Nintendo. So tell us what you think about this. But it's time we move on to other things, including the June Skill of the Month update, which is summoning.
Oi.
Same as last week, no point.
Really? Nothing at all?
Yes, it
wow!
is. Nothing at all.
What? No, no, there's a little, look at that, right there in on 16, there was like a little bit of increase. And then there was another one on the 19th and 20th.
I think he's just doing a little bit of, like, maybe his jack of trades or something to pad his lead.
Yeah, maybe. But first, One Stone Pwn still in the lead with 2.9 million XP. Second is Optimaniac with 1.8 million. And Jason, you're slightly behind him by 7K at 1.8 as well.
Jason, bad boy. Get it higher. What's going on?
I ran out of charms after like the first day. I've been doing Bork daily, and I get about, you know, I get the 10 blues and 17 crimsons a day, and I've been doing that for the whole month, and so I have those saved up, so I think I'll do that a bit, but I won't nearly get to first.
Do familiarization.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that now with just over a week left in the month, but you could if you have the charms.
Yeah, but don't anymore. I'll pull out second, I think.
Or you buy like 1,000 spins and go for the lamps and put them on the summoning.
That is an option.
There you go.
Sure,
you could do that.
I'm sure Shane would love that idea. Pay for your skill.
Sure.
Hey, see? Well, works out. All right. You can ask the community to donate to you. I'm broke, so ask Duke. He has money.
All right.
Oh, okay, that's great. Come on, Jason, make it interesting.
I'll do my best.
We got two achievements this week. The Lion with 99 Dungeoneering on the 20th. Congratulations.
And Forged RS with 99 Mining on the 18th.
Congratulations as well.
Both good skills. Now go for 120 Dungeon.
Yeah, that's going to be... I'm waiting for the day we see 120 Dungeoneering on our achievements here. So,
alrighty.
Your pick.
Alright, this was shown by one of our moderators on the forums, Southern. He posted this, and it's basically a nerd test. So it's pretty simple. There's a whole bunch of tests on this little website, and you know, just we're all nerdy in our own right. So let's see how nerdy everyone is. So I was considered a cool lightweight nerd.
Okay.
You know, I know, and my dork level was less than 40%, so which I'm happy with. Certain somebody here was 64% on the dork meter.
No, mine was 38.
Not you, someone else.
Who?
Me?
Not naming you. Not saying anything.
Okay. mine called it a cool high nerd. 88% math, 78% technology, 44% sci-fi, 71% history / literature.
I think what put you down, Shane, was not knowing what a lightsaber was.
I said I don't have one.
Well, technically Benny has one, but it's not mine, so I didn't count it.
Oh, okay. Benny's your son.
Shane, don't make me whip you.
All right. So that is the nerd test, and you can find that in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. So tell us about your show contest. Is that over, or are you still running
still
it?
Still one more week. Still two more weeks, so it's not the end of June yet, so... We have one more week, and then I'll pick a winner. So basically, just enter your, just post a question, audio question, either one, and you're entered in. And the more questions you ask, the higher chance of you winning. And it's going to be completely random. So
okay,
you'll win a small prize. We'll say what it is.
This week was the last week to enter my competition, so next week I will be announcing my winner. And once again, that one will be completely random, so look forward to hearing that on next week's show.
Woo!
All right, so what have we been doing? Jason, you can go first.
Well, in RuneScape, I've been doing a lot of herb lore. I went from 90 to 94 this past week, and I've been doing a lot of chinning as well. I think I'm going to get close to 99 with what I have, but I'm not really sure. And then, just been relaxing here at home. Moved back home middle of last week, so I've just been enjoying summer, playing RS.
Okay. Anything else you want to share?
No, not really.
All right. As for me this week, as I mentioned, I did a bit of playing around in the Xcode environment because I was just trying to see if I could make this thing do something, and I did, but it's not exactly the most prettiest thing to play around with, but that's that. Also, I finished and I got 90 RuneCrafting. No, I'm not getting 91, and I'm done at RuneSpan for a while.
Go get us sooner or later.
No, I'm finished. If I ever get 91 RuneCrafting, I'm going to do it through ZMI.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing this week. And you?
I haven't done much in RS this week. I was too busy this whole week just doing everything over here. So, more or less, I just did my Citadel and did a little bit of Sling. Almost to 91 Slayer, so I'm happy about that.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yes, I think I was like 40k or less to 91, then I can kill the ice worms.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that means we're finished for this week, unless anyone else has anything to mention.
Nope.
All right.
Stay frosty, because I know it's pretty hot in many places right now.
Okay, well, with that being said, we'll see you all next week, everyone. And remember, if you have anything you want to talk about, you can do that on our forums at rsbnb.com/forums. Look forward to seeing you there. Goodbye, everyone.